I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
All right, cold start as usual. It's picking up well. Sick. Brendan, Black Blood Audio, Descent, Resin Tomb, Snorlax, fucking... How many more? Have I missed any, or is that all of them?
That's pretty good.
That's pretty good. Yeah. Yeah?
All What's up, man? Cool. How's it going?
Oh, look, man. Not doing too bad. It's gone a week now, and it was from your show, that is, at the Outpost, and I'm still kind of scratching my head as well how you managed to play in a venue as nice as that.
Oh, that was very funny
to me. I mean, it was the first thing you said as well, like, you just rocked up and you're like, we're playing in a place that we're too good for, like, this is awesome. But the sound, man, the sound was fucking incredible. I'm so glad that I had earplugs that night, you know, jeez. Well, I mean, kudos to Youngie as well. He had the spare pair for me, so otherwise I would have been truly, like, my hearing's already fucked. It's already gone. There's no hope, but I've at least got to try and save some of it, you know.
Yeah.
Be able to actually hear some shit, you know, and appreciate it. So, I mean, even through the loot with the earplugs, like, could still hear you. Like, every now and then you'd sort of like loosen just the ear a little bit and see how loud it is, and you're just like, fuck.
Nah, put them in, leave them in.
Yeah, oh, dude.
But yeah, it was loud. It sounded good.
It was fantastic. I wasn't feeling 100% that night, but, like, I mean, outside of that, like, the show wise, it was great in my opinion. I've been to a fair few shows, but, like, in terms of, like, just the overall quality of the music that night was just phenomenal.
Oh, cheers, man. It's hard for Shackles to play a bad show, I think.
You know,
they're always amazing.
And what's funny about those guys too is that they're so chaotic, but yet they're structured. You know, like, it's structured chaos, right? Like,
they've learned to control that, yeah.
It's wild, but, like, it's so fast, it doesn't seem like it's tight. Like, it doesn't seem like it's in tune, but it is.
Yeah.
But it's just played in such a way that is just utter chaos. You think, what a fucking tempo. Like, it's ridiculous. And then, yeah, fucking Mark in a sling up on stage.
Yeah, that was,
like,
great.
Fuck. What did he even do to himself anyway? Did he say?
I believe it was a bodyboarding injury.
Right.
Can't say. Oh, he's a bodyboarder, right. Or anything too extreme. Might have just been a unfortunate sort of... Yeah, I think he might have dislocated his shoulder.
Yeah, okay. That's ridiculous.
Mark's pretty tough, though. He was like, yeah, nah, it's all good. I'll be fine.
Well, he's not like he was never, even back in the day when I first saw them, which was like, oh, fuck, like 2013, 2014, I think it was. It wasn't until like 2015, 16 when I actually got photos of them for the first time. And I just look back on what they used to be. Like, they've been around that long.
Yeah.
You don't realize that, which is, I think, the more bizarre thing too. Is that
they're too humble, but, like, they're just legends.
They just play shows whenever the fuck they want. There's like, no, oh, we could be bigger. Or it's just like, yeah, well, fucking...
They could be super big.
They went to that obscene extreme festival. I'm pretty sure there's footage of them on there playing. And, yeah, like, they could be doing, like, Europe and shit. I say that to any of the guys that do really good metal here.
Yeah.
Just like, go to Europe.
Oh, it's a hard slug, eh?
Yeah, I bet, right? But slog, I get it, man. Like, it'll take forever, like, money and shit. I totally understand that. But, like, just, they love that shit over there.
If you've got the right people showing you the way and you play the right places and stuff, yeah, they fucking love it.
Yeah, and it wouldn't be hard to, like, have that first trip through them all just go, holy shit, these guys are sick, let's get them back again, and soon... the turnaround could be super quick, and also this time around you might be able to get on a bigger stage, right? Like if your reception was really well,
yeah,
you know, like fuck, they love that shit over there, like, and you know, I've been saying to the Idol guys too, like, man, you guys would fucking kill it over there with their, like, especially with their sound, like, yeah. and the way that they've been, their live shows are really good too, you know, like that they've got a good energy when they play. There's a lot of fucking hair everywhere, yeah. Like like legit, it's very funny.
Gotta keep the windmills going.
Yeah. Oh, that was, and I took photos for those guys at King Lear's recently. Vexation came up. Odious played in Hell's Horizon. They've had like 3 shows, I think, or some shit. So kudos to that. Keep playing. Because yous are good. Yous are absolutely good. Just keep playing shows. Yeah, like, there was just fucking hair everywhere. Like, you know, Odious was a 4-piece, I'm pretty sure. Oh, wait, no. 1, 2, 3, 4. Yeah. But all of them had the long hair, and they were all fucking doing that, weren't they? Like, and even just taking the photos as well, all you're just seeing is just, like, fucking hair everywhere. And it's like, what's that? What's that cartoon? Is it Cousin It?
Yeah, from the Addams Family.
Yeah, straight up. With all of it in one shot, I swear to God, it just looks like a giant furball.
Hadelmore was a bit like that on Friday night as well. Both the guitarists have long hair and beards, so they were just like...
Hadelmore are interesting to me, right? Because they have like, I mean, they play on 8 strings, yeah? Was it 8 strings, or one of them does? One of the guys? Yeah, I thought so.
8 strings,
and I mean, what the fuck was that set up in front of the guitarist on one end? It was like a tablet with like all these weird colors and shit. And I'm looking at it going, what the fuck is that? What? Is that for your guitar?
That might have even been the bass player's digital pedal setup.
Right.
Pretty badass. All their gear is crazy, eh?
Like, what the... Like, and...
They use computers for guitar amps and everything.
Yeah, it makes sense with their sound, right? Like, because when you... Like, yeah, fucking earplugs again. Cheers. Right? Like, they're ridiculously loud. But just, like, the tone of it is ridiculous.
I think that's why they need the computers, because the tone's so low.
Yeah.
It's just, like, impossible for a normal amp to maintain consistency.
Okay. Makes sense, right? You want to go heavy, you've got to start getting digital. But, like, fuck, it seems so surreal to me, like, that's where we can go with guitars and shit, right? Like, how far until, like, we just, metal becomes DJ shit?
Yeah, someone will end up doing, like, a full-scale synth spectrum.
And there'll be a one-piece.
That'll just, like, take over everyone and go, well, now I've heard full-spectrum synth distortion, I could never... Just go back to one guitar.
It's terrifying. Like,
it'll happen, I'm sure.
It'll take away the whole, like, when you do actually see, like, those one-piece bands and shit. Like, do you ever see Golden Bats play?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's so good.
Yeah.
So good. Like, and then you get some cunt on a fucking tablet rocking up, and then he plays his shit. Like, I can never remember how to pronounce it, but Schrodinger Cruz or whatever, he's the... He does, like, synth crust pop shit. It's, like, really wacky, cool stuff. I'll send you the link for it. But he's he plays bass in Dark Horse. Kieran, I think his name is. Lovely. I met him once up in Nambour with Borgie. I love Borgie. Shout out Bad Habits. I love you, mate. We have to have another catch-up again soon. It's really, like, just... It's like that underground, crusty, synth, like, rock metal sound. It's really cool. It's really cool shit. And then, yeah, like, that is what you would, like, when you see his setup, like, it's huge.
Yeah.
But, like, that makes sense for what he's doing. He's not doing it on, like, a fucking little tablet and just pushing a button, you know, right? He's got all these dials and shit, and he's always...
It's just one guy.
It's one guy and doing all that shit. And it's cool. And then he also sings or screams while he plays it all as well. So he's doing it all. And that's the sort of shit that's real impressive, right? Like, just... And then, yeah, it's not me fucking whinging about, like, it's all going digital or whatever. I sound like old man yelling at clouds, right? Like, it was just when I saw it, I was like, I couldn't work it out at first what the fuck it was, and he kept looking down at it as well, and like, yeah, whatever, and I'm just like, and then, you know, he's got one of those ridiculous like inverted headstock fucking guitar looking things, and it looks almost alien like, and I'm, it's just not looking real. Yeah. Yeah, and then yeah, it just, oh man, Hadal were fucking so good. I've been pronouncing it wrong this for a long time. I think I was pronouncing it Hadal Moore for a long time. For some reason I thought it sounded like it was Hadal.
Nah, that's, I don't know, I think as long as you remember the name they're okay. I'm not gonna be too upset.
And then, but then, it's Sam, is it? The Sam, yeah. Yeah, and then he goes, hey, we're Hadal Moore, and I'm like, fuck, yeah, I have been saying it wrong. Nah. I just thought that was really funny at the time too. But yeah, no, they were fucking just absolutely ridiculous. But I, you know, and before I forget too, like, you had yourself playing in two bands that night as well. Like, yeah,
very nepotistic lineup.
That's, I mean, it all kind, it's still kind of, I wouldn't say the same sound because it's not, right? But like, in terms of playing style, in a way, it's pretty similar, would you say? Like, between Resin and Descent. Would it be, do you think? Or is there,
yeah,
more...
Yeah, I guess that's just my favourite sort of stuff. I just like Trem a lot.
Yeah.
And I think that aggression comes forward very easily when you're just playing as fast as you can the whole time for every riff. So that's something I probably lean on a bit too much. But
I agree with that in a way. Like, because when I was playing a lot, I would always just go back to like Slayer-like riffs and shit, because the faster you play, like, the more aggro it sounds and shit. So I always go, do you call them triplets, or like, what do you call them when you do like the real
like
quick
gallopy ones?
Yeah. I got really good at doing that shit, and like, I just call them triplets because it feels like you're doing like you're doing three hits in one go, right?
Yeah, that's it.
And yeah, like, everyone had weird, like, oh, do you like the gallop? And I'm like, what the fuck does that mean, dude? Like, it's no.
I guess Iron Maiden called it a gallop or something. Like,
everyone just went with it.
Yeah.
Fucking Iron Maiden. God damn. And how long have they been around?
On a great show, eh?
He's
like the vocalist that I wish that I had the confidence to be.
Oh, you know, yeah, I mean? Right.
Like, he just gets up there and owns it.
Is it 40 years now that they've been around? Or, because I know Judas is the one that's been around longer. They did like...
Oh, I bounced back to Hadal Moore or Hadal Moore.
Oh, right, yeah.
Bruce Dickinson.
Yeah.
He's a showman too.
Yeah, fucking A. Oh, dude.
Do you reckon they're the same level? Sam and Bruce?
I don't know. That's interesting. It's interesting because, like, I'm going off the experience I saw when I saw Maiden at Soundwave that time, and like, but they're all in the like fucking 50s and 60s and shit, and like, the most they're doing is the fucking, oh my god, their bassist or whatever does that fucking, like, as he's playing, he like holds his guitar out. I swear to god, I lost count how many times he did that.
Like, pointing the neck at the audience.
Yeah, and he's just being all like, fucking cool, man, like. But, like, I lost count how many times he did it while I was watching. And it started to annoy the shit out of me. like, I'm like, this is really... It's like, can you stop, man?
He's in Iron Maiden. He can kind of do what he wants, though. Hey?
I know, right? Like, they're playing Run to the Hills, and you're just like, fuck, it's so good, but stop it. You can be mad. You can be mad, but whatever. Sam's an incredible showman. And a great vocalist too. Like, it makes it really fun to shoot as well. Like, because when you get into more sort of precarious situations, it kind of gives you a bit of a rush to go, fuck, I really do need to try and get a shot of this, because like, how cool would it be?
Yeah.
And I don't know, like, I kind of like that rush in a way that I. So when he jumped down on stage, off stage and into the pit, first thing I thought was like, oh fuck yeah, this is gonna be a sick shot. So I was just waiting for him to do some like windmills and shit in the middle of the pit, and then
I'm sure he did.
Yeah, and he did, and I caught it just as he's going down, and then fucking, I don't know the guy's name, but like, his Insta tag is like Blunder Chunder or some shit. He's a skater. He's the guy in the background, and he's doing, like, it was just perfect timing, right? Like, yeah. I thought, this is such a good shot.
I think his name's Ethan.
Ethan, yeah. Right, okay. Well, shout out Ethan, man, for the fucking devil horns in the back.
Yeah, he won the award for Pit Instigator of the Night, I think.
Yeah, yeah, good, because that's one of my things as well, is that, like, that was, to me, just the overall level of skill and just good, like, musicianship on that night. I just really feel like that the crowd was, like, it was very appreciative, of course, but, like, I don't know, I've just got this thing in my head that, like, when you go to shows, like, you should just go fucking bonkers, especially if they're going bonkers, which, yeah, I thought every band did, yeah, right?
Like, maybe the venue was too nice. Everyone was reserved because, you know, the bar, yeah, staff, like, had colored shirts on, and there was, like, nicely dim lighting that kind of just made it feel like,
what the, yeah,
a classy club that we shouldn't have been.
They had booths over on the side there too, you know.
It was brand, like, new. It wasn't like a dingy bar where there was yeah, stains and stuff everywhere. It was just crisp.
Oh god, that makes me think of the one and only time I went to Rosie's before it got demolished.
Oh, like, this was Rosie's, but brand new.
Yeah,
it was still shiny, and the chairs are squeaky. They weren't, like, sticky.
oh man. I always have this memory of just, like, this weird smell of, like, when I went in, because the one and only time I went into Rosie's was right before, like, just, I think, not long after I'd turned 18. It was the first year after I'd turned 18 or something, or 19 or something.
Everyone has a Rosie story. I love
it. It was, like, the first and only time, and, like, I got real drunk, and it was, like, the first time Make Them Suffer came over to the East Coast, and they played with State of East London and the Ailment and Aversion's Crown.
Oh, there you go. That's,
yeah, just a wild lineup.
That's a very, you know, 2009 lineup.
Yeah, yeah, you're absolutely right. I'm pretty sure it was either 2009 or 2010 that, yeah, they, sick, made their way over. And yeah, I got real drunk, and, you know, obviously. And I had TAFE the next day, and that was not a fun bus ride in. I got the bus into 8 Mile, and then proceeded to yak my guts up like something chronic in
Thursday,
like,
night shows were always,
oh
yeah,
bad, man, bad, you know. Like, I would absolutely not be able to cope doing that now. I wouldn't be able to do it. Just keep your shows till Friday or a Saturday, please. We're not Melbourne. Now, see, this is why we don't have any more shows here. we're good. Well, that's one of my things, though. Like, I just, that, it's not a critique, because it's not like there was anything bad about it, because it was such a good show. It's just, I'd love to see more carnage, you know, like, especially when there's just really, like, good heavy fast bands on and stuff. Like,
we've just seen so, yeah, many venues, we should, disappear.
We should hit them up and see how much they made on the night, and see how feasible it is to maybe do that as a thing. Because, yeah, how good would it be to have shows there, like, more regularly too? Like, it would open up, like, more avenues as well for, like, even up-and-coming bands to have a shot at that venue. Oh, you know what? It probably costs a bit to hire out that place. Did it?
I think it was pretty reasonable.
Yeah, okay.
It was more just the fact that that's their secondary venue. So the main one downstairs is their,
yeah,
first priority.
Also, there's a downstairs part.
That's where the Fortitude Music Hall is.
Right.
So it's attached to that. So we were essentially in, like, the bar area foyer upstairs, and that's the venue just for their kind of side access.
Right. Okay.
And so you only really get to book that venue if there's nothing happening in the big one.
Oh, okay. So it wouldn't happen very often then.
Yeah, I'd love to hit them up and do a monthly metal night if they would let me, but I think they're more focused on trying to book bigger events.
Yeah, okay.
In the main room, because that's, like, 3,000 people or something. So maybe, yeah, we just need to bring out...
If you get some interstates playing there, at least to like you did with Hadel, and I mean, do you consider Shackles fucking interstate? Like, I don't.
They're 50-50, I guess. Yeah. Two of them live in Queensland and two live in New South Wales. So
yeah. I don't know. I don't know.
They're a national band.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll just go with that. Those guys are the same too. They're just so fucking good. Like, everyone on the night was really good. If I have anything to say about the night in particular, is that just, I don't think it could have been better musically speaking. Like, it was just, I don't think there was any fuck ups. Really? I mean, you personally might have noticed any of your ones or their ones or whatever, but, like,
I'll never tell.
But but from an audience perspective, you wouldn't have noticed, like, awesome. Unless it was just like a straight up, like, oh, my fucking amp cord came out or whatever, and it's like, oh, well, that's not, I mean, that's not a technical fuck up. That's just you being a dick. Keep your amp lead in. you know, it happens, I'm sure. But like, yeah, like it was a really good night. I was really, really impressed with it, to be honest. And the turnout was good too. Like, by the end of the night, it was full, almost, you know? Like,
yeah, everyone I spoke to said they had a good time, so.
It was, yeah, I'm pretty chuffed with it. Did you have anything, any highlights or anything from it in particular, or any lowlights from it?
Seeing Mark do vocals in a sling was just great, because it's like this bloke who's got this obvious kind of confinement, restricted thing going on with his arm, but he's still just going berserk, and he sounds like an absolute machine. That was great. It's always good to watch Biff play drums, but that was kind of the third, fourth time I'd seen Hadel in a row over the last couple of weeks, and that was one of their better sets.
Yeah,
and I think it was because the atmosphere was just really intimate, and everyone kind of like had nothing else to focus on in that venue except the band.
Yeah,
it was just like, wasn't like a nightclub and there's a band playing. It was just like, everyone was there to see the bands. It felt like that was their best performance because they responded to everyone else, kind of thing.
They did, yeah.
They played really well, yeah.
And with a band, like, the way that they play and how they are on stage as well, it's a saving grace for them that Sam is so active, because they all don't really do much, right? Because they're like just focusing on their shit.
Oh, you gotta get the power stance and
like Cannibal Corpse style, you know, just staying.
Well,
that
that's the highlight.
Spot.
They played the Cannibal Corpse cover, Scourge of Iron.
I was feeling crook, and I had left at that point.
Oh, dude.
Yeah, yeah.
Not many bands can pull off a Cannibal Corpse cover, and they actually
Caleb
super heavy.
Caleb told me. And I was so fucking mad. I was so mad. And I was like, God damn it. You know, like, it was just a case of, like, I hadn't eaten enough, right? And I just started feeling like dog shit, like energy levels dropped, and like,
we've all smoke bombed a gig at one point
or
another. You don't have to make an excuse.
Yeah, you know, but I was just so mad because, like, I love that song.
Yeah,
I love that song. And then, yeah, I was just really mad because I was like, fuck, I would have loved to get shots of them playing that song too, because I would have known as well, because I just like Cannibal that much. I finally got their vinyl as well. That one I was telling you about a while back, the Kill one. Yeah,
oh,
I got
sick.
It. Yeah, I got it, so I can finally start my collection of like bigger vinyls now, because I've got 7 inches and shit.
Yeah.
But I never wanted anything like bigger than that until I got the Cannibal one on Kill, especially on like full LP size.
Did you get that through Borg?
No. I ended up having to get it through some vinyl place in the UK, right? But thankfully, you're thinking, oh my God, he must have paid a fucking fortune
for
shipping.
One?
Well,
what color's the vinyl?
It's black.
Yeah.
I think it's not limited edition or whatever, but there's something about it that made it special. I can't remember. Like, I got a fold out like Cannibal poster and shit.
That's one of my favorite Cannibal Corpse records. I think you talked about that last time, actually.
Yeah, because
we have talked,
but it, again, like any of these podcasts I've done were like maybe a year or two ago at this point, you know. So it's a nice way for me to see how far I've come to as well, like in terms of how I sound, my way of speaking as well, whether or not some nights I'm on, some nights I'm not on. At all, you know. For a while, I wasn't listening to myself, but then after a bit, I was like, oh, I want to at least see if I was listenable, you know, after a while, because, you know, I've been doing it a while. But it's just, I mean, there's no fucking schedule to it anymore at all, you know.
I imagine, like, you'd listen to, I mean, I imagine most podcasters would at least listen to it once before they put it out.
Sometimes.
Like a basketball player watches the game back after the end of the match, you kind of like check it out. Go, what can I learn from?
Yeah, sometimes. Like, I don't always. No. Like, if I feel like it's good enough. Like, so far, this one feels really good, and I don't think I'll have to go back on it if I don't want to. But I feel like it's also a really good chat, so I will probably go back and have a listen to it. And, you know, like, and it's on my phone rather than in the studio, so I would record it in the studio, on a, unless I'd get Zane to send it through to me or whatever. I would then listen to it, right? But, it, I mean, it's not that big of a hassle. It's pretty easy to do.
Yeah.
But half the time, I'll just go off my vibe. Like, I've said this before. If like, it's no... Good. It's no secret, like, fuck, and if you're thinking, oh, you never told me, like, I have before, and this is the thing, it obviously shows that no one fucking listens, I'm kidding, I don't care, you know, like, it's cool to look back and just see how far you've come, and it's just, I feel like it works the same way with, like, records, you know, the same way that when you started, like, when you have your first demo, or whatever, to what you sound now. Right, like, so I've got both your Descent Chaos, nearly said Descent Chaos because Order of Chaos, fucking mix it up, right, but I've got both your Descent cassettes, one of, and your logo, and this is what I wanted to ask about as well, the Order of Chaos logo on one of the sites is different.
Ooh.
Did you know that? Like, it's different from that, like, your main logo. Did you not know that?
No, I mean, there was three labels that helped us release that. It was Redefining Darkness did the vinyl.
Mm-hmm.
Redefining Darkness did the CD.
Yeah.
Brilliant Emperor did the vinyl. And Caligari Records did the tape. So
okay. I
think they all did their own independent layouts and everything.
Right, okay.
They could have just, like, gone with what they felt was best, and I'm kind of happy with that. They,
yeah.
They're nice enough to put our music out. They can have their own little twist on it. That's sick.
Yeah, right. Okay. Interesting. I'm just curious because, yeah, I was going to ask you about it. Like, why did you go with a different font?
Oh, no.
But now you don't know.
I'm the audio dude, man. I do the recordings.
Yeah.
And I write the demos and then, like...
Who do you get the artwork... Who do you do the artwork with,
then? Well, Ian's a tattoo artist, so he's the artist in the band. He gets final say on usually all those sort of things.
Right, like, okay.
The cover art was a guy called Mitchell Nolte.
Okay.
From Melbourne. And he does, like, digital oil paintings.
Right, so okay.
He kind of wrote up a big description of what he wanted.
Yeah.
And then described the general idea, and he sent through a couple of different, like, impressions, and we said, like, you know, number two was just, like, a rough background and a general idea. We were like, number two, run with that, and then we just went nuts and put heaps of stuff in it, and it was...
Yeah.
Like, way better than we expected it to come back as. But yeah, that was all Ant kind of just, like, feeding him ideas, going, hey, let's try this, make it, like, these colors and whatever, and he...
Right, okay. It. I'm really mad. So you don't have the, like, you don't have... Do you have the latest Descent cassette tape on yourself?
Yes. Right now?
You do?
I got one somewhere.
Yeah, yeah. I know you've got those ones up there. We'll keep it going, because I'm just really curious if you notice the difference in font on the
I'll
side.
I'll put them out later and you show me.
Yeah,
I'm
yeah.
curious
okay.
now.
Yeah,
I've noticed that myself.
Man, I had questions about that. It's like, fuck, okay.
I think another one you're talking about, though, it's a bit more curly.
Yeah. It's not the same as that. And it just, like, it kind of fits, but I'm like, what made you go with it? But obviously, you can't answer that.
I'm sorry, there's no story behind that one.
There's no story. All right, cool. Well, I mean, it's still... How would you, like, because I'm sure I asked you this last time, but, like, how would you personally describe the sound of Descent? Like, I hear a lot of an old school element into it, like, and that would come from, like, the really aggressive sort of fast mellow playing style, right? Because I think, like, you know, fucking Death and fucking Vader and all those old school, like, real, like, and they just had that, yeah, that rawness to it sort of sound. Yeah. And it almost kind of sounds, in a way, like it's not recorded well, but it is.
It's funny that you just mentioned two European bands, because that was kind of the aim, was to make, like, European-esque death metal. And so that was, like, you know...
It's got a bit of that sort of crusty sound to it. Yeah.
Gothenburg style, sort of, like, At the Gates, Sword of the Soul, but also, like, Entombed. Dismember.
Yeah.
Dismember's a big one. So, like, those kind of bands from that era, which everyone's now kind of rebirthed into what has become, like, Nails and Gatecreeper and all that kind of stuff like that.
Yeah.
Which are fucking awesome.
Oh, yeah. But, yeah, hands,
like,
down.
Yeah, going back to, like, the origin of the HM2 sound and all that sort of thing is kind of, like, what we originally wanted to do. Yeah,
it's it's essentially like a modernized like version of it.
Yeah,
Because now that I think about it, like Nails, fucking A. Yeah, they absolutely sound like that old school sound, but they got fucking 10 times bigger fucking amps and just such a heavier sound to what they play, and it's very similar.
Yeah,
but also
it's like they've just taken power violence and run it through a entombed filter, and it's like that much more crushing.
Yeah, and I mean the vocals in a sense aren't that far off, like in terms of like what they sound like, but I mean like in the way that they singing is a bit different. I don't know, it's hard to say, but like I hadn't put that one to thought at all. Yeah. Now you've blown my mind as well. It's fucking cool shit. Aren't they? Oh, when did they play here last?
Nails?
Yeah.
They came over when Download Festival was in Sydney and Melbourne.
Oh, really?
In Brisbane at Crowbar. Ooh. For a sideshow.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, they did. I think that was, Terramata and Pavarotti?
Yeah,
right.
And because all the albums are so short, they pretty much played their whole discography. It was so good.
Oh, man. Yeah, that would have been insane. Oh, man. Like, and that's the thing. So, obviously, now with everything, and, you know, internationals are coming back now, which is pretty sick. It's kind of almost surreal in a way, like, that is actually happening, you know, and some of it's happening sooner than you realize, you know. So, like, I mean, what is that, what your goal is for maybe to, is it something that you're looking towards the end of the year or next year to try and get over to Europe?
No, not quite that ambitious yet.
Yeah, not yet.
No, we've seen so many other tours being announced for here in Australia, like, yeah, Skeletal Remains and Vader.
You just want to get on them first.
Yeah, I'd honestly love to play a bit more in Australia.
Yeah,
first.
Mm.
Only because we keep seeing so many other bands book tours and then doesn't quite eventuate, and it's really unfortunate that all that planning has to go in the bin. So
yeah, just
sort of like stay where we know we're going to be safe for a bit and then venture out at some point. I mean, everyone in the band sort of getting a little bit older, like there's some dads, some very in-depth careers that take priority and that sort of thing. So
yeah,
the privilege of touring as a band is not always at the forefront of everyone else's mind, but in saying that, there is some really sick tours coming over here. So, like, we're getting some awesome show opportunities, like Defeated Sanity, Resin Tomb supporting in July. That's at the
Woolly
Mammoth with Disentomb.
I forgot about that one.
That's going to be an awesome show.
That'll be great. I've just realized as well how much this has been fucking squeaking when I sit on it, too. And I'm wondering how much this is going to pick up. And I'm sorry if you've noticed this now. It's only taken me 32 minutes to realize. It's fine. You don't have to get us another chair. It's okay. No, you're all right, actually. I should get another chair. It's annoying as hell. And it stops me from leaning, too. It's bad for your back.
I spend so much time in this room with that chair that I didn't even think. It's just a normal sound that I hear every day.
No. Look, me too. But then I've just gone, wait, this sound must be coming through. It has to be. You know, if it's reaching me from here pretty well, like I've got mid-bars on this. I fucking love the voice recording on this phone. I've had it for so long, like I don't even know how the thing's still working. I'm probably past my point where I could go get a new one. I've just haven't gotten around to doing it. It's an S10 plus.
Have you got an auxiliary port on that one?
Yeah,
they brought it back.
Yeah, I mean they did. I don't know. I didn't know that they didn't.
I'm still spewing. They got rid of the auxiliary port.
Yeah, right. Oh, right. Yeah,
listening
yeah.
Listening to demos in the car is that much harder.
Oh, okay. Got
to upload it to it.
I didn't realize they'd gotten rid of it at some point. This is old, man. Like, I don't know if you've got a new phone or not, but, like, that's old. They're, like, fucking getting space age with it now. Like, seriously, it's crazy. I'm like, that's why I probably haven't gone and gotten a new phone yet, because I'm like, oh, man, I'm going to have to learn new things.
Yeah, no, I usually try and avoid it, but I've actually got, like, the new iPhone 13 mini, and I have to say, it's pretty sick.
Yeah, I've never been an iPhone.
But like, yeah, no, it's kind of won me over.
Yeah, okay. Were you an Apple person? Or you always have been? Or
yeah, but I still hold them to account.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Yeah, like fuck you, but I'll use you. Yeah. I've never been an Apple iPhone person. I've always been an Android. I don't know. It was one of the first phones I got. Well, one of the first phones I had was the fucking Razr, the Motorola, you know, the flip phones.
It's like the new Holden versus Ford, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. It is. Well, we don't have them anymore, do we? You know, they don't get made here anymore, so we can't really call them Holden versus Ford anymore. It's not the fucking same.
Nah.
So, look, off track. Anyway.
Sorry to bum you out with that one.
Yeah. A
reminder of fuck the legacy you. Of beautiful cars that used to get around.
Fuck you.
Shout out to all the Como fans.
Yeah. that's right. You drive the is it a 6 liter or is it 6.2?
6 liter.
6 liter. Okay.
I got the ultimate Bogan.
Yeah. Because you got the shape that I prefer anyway. If I was to have a Holden, it was that era. I can never remember the VE. Oh, I know the VEs have got shit gearboxes. I know that. I've been told that. But what's that?
Mine's a manual, so hopefully not.
No, automatics. Okay. Automatics are okay. Shit. They always go on the VE Commodores. They're like one of the first things to go. But manuals, apparently they didn't. I don't know. I don't know what it is. But
it's been all right.
Yeah. Well, there you go. Like it was just one of the things that I got told when I used to work at one of these car places that like we dealt with them all the time. And like one of the guys that worked there that just knew, you know, how you like know guys that like knows cars too much that they're a wanker about it, you know? You know, like, oh, you like that as your favorite car? Like, fuck you. I like whatever car I like. Like, sorry, it's not like some fucking $3 million concept car. Like, just fuck off.
Some people choose their car by the color.
Yeah, I like it because it's pink. You know, like, yeah, fucking A. If I had the money to get mine wrapped in pink, I'd do it, though. There's a place just across from where I work now. That do that sort of shit, but of course it's not cheap to wrap your car, so you've got to pick that over priorities. You know, I got a kid myself, so what do you prefer?
Pink car on the back burner.
pay for the kids' AFL or go get your car wrapped in pink. I don't know about you, but I mean. Next question. No, I've already paid for my kids' AFL, of course, you know. But so, you know, like when you haven't played shows in so long and then you get up there and play one, how much does it just make you want to get up there and do it again?
It was a little bit extra.
Yeah. It was one of those ones where like there wasn't really anything bad that happened on the night in any sense, you know, like no, it went off without a hitch.
It all ran pretty smoothly, yeah.
Yeah.
But it definitely had a little bit of an extra special feeling.
Yeah.
Just after like so many months of having booking shows and cancelling shows and then yeah, seeing everyone out and about again was great.
Yeah, it was. It really was. If there was like I said earlier, if there was an overall review of the gig, I think it was great. I think it was a good return for the really sort of like pioneer metal groups to come back and like just go hello, you know, like we're still fucking here, like we're still playing, like, you know, everyone else has been playing shows and stuff, you know, like they've already got two or three in already over you guys, but then you guys come back and play and it's a fucking banger and there's, you know, at least a couple hundred people there, like that's got to be a great feeling. You know, it's fun to shoot. Like I'd say you've given us the most outside of King Lear's actually, you've given us like the most opportunity so far to like photograph shows, which is awesome, so thank you for that as well.
Anytime.
But like I mean, some of the bands that have played on those gigs too, I mean, fucking hell, like Dis and Tomb are ridiculous. I've got to talk to those guys and find out when their actual first show was, because I swear to God it was when they opened for Napalm and Dying Fetus.
Wow.
I swear to God it was, right? So I don't know.
Damn.
if you know the guys, message them, like, because fuck, if you see some random cunt on online, just go, hey, did you play this show back then? Like, oh, who the fuck are you? Go, leave me alone.
I wouldn't be surprised, man. They're really, really good.
Yeah. Oh, but that's another thing too. They've been around for like that long.
Yeah.
As well, but there's still not the same sort of recognition of like how long they've been around, but also how good they are too. Like, so what? That
I think
it's
that's
like
just
not
an
yet...
Australian thing though, because of like how heavy they are.
Yeah.
It does go over people's heads, I think, sometimes. Like, I saw them play at Halloween Hysteria just the other week.
Yeah.
And there was surprisingly not as many people as there should have been, but like their music's just so crushing that,
yeah,
up against all the other bands, I can imagine how the decision making process would have gone.
Oh, like, that's the Tabo, isn't it? Mansfield, yeah, Tavern. Yeah. Yeah, it's a fucking high ceiling like room as well. Like, I mean,
if you mention their name in Europe though, people like get out of their chair and stand up.
Yeah,
and honestly, like
they're big in Europe,
super popular,
yeah,
in Europe. Yeah, like at one point we were in Belgium and they were asking us like, oh, what other bands are in your local town? Like,
yeah,
we were just listing off like a bunch of Brisbane bands and someone said Disentomb and the guy was like, what? And he stood up, he literally got up out of his chair and started walking around in circles being like, oh man, like he was just like, that band, holy shit, they're the pinnacle. And I was like, yeah man, they're from our hometown. It's,
yeah,
crazy. They're definitely respected like internationally.
Yeah.
I think they're almost just like too good.
Yeah. I know Aversion's Crown would have to be the same thing, because I know they play over, I mean, for a period of time that's pretty much all they ever played was like just in fucking Europe.
Yeah, they play big tours, eh?
Yeah, oh dude. And again, I saw them when did they come out? I don't know. I'm trying to think if they released their EP 2012, around 2012, or if it was a bit before. You know,
Servitude. That came out.
That was after their EP. Yeah, because that's what I mean. They've been around for ages, man. Another one I'll send through links to as well. Like, I saw them back when Make Them Suffer came over, you know, earlier on. And then when they came back again for the second time, they toured with Signal the Firing Squad.
Sick.
And it was Make Them Suffer, Signal the Firing Squad, and Aversion's Crown as well. And then I think Among the Vanish opened, and then someone else opened as well. Like, do you ever remember Among the Vanished? Like,
I remember seeing the name around, yeah.
They,
I can't picture them in my mind right now.
They were like...
thought you were going to say the Ailment or something.
No. I was never really a fan of those guys anyway. Sorry, listen. everyone has their opinions, whatever. Like, it's not like I'm bagging on them or anything. I just didn't like them, you know? It was just one of those bands like that you never really got... It's like N-World, but like N-World fucking sucked, though.
I think that was just the first band and those dudes all split off and did other things, like...
Mm.
Lloyd, the drummer, is he plays in Skag with Eddie. Have you heard that?
They've only done like one show or something.
Yeah,
haven't they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Heard their release, man. It's real heavy.
No, I haven't heard it. No,
it's sick.
Yeah, I should go listen.
Yeah.
Okay. No, I haven't, because they, who did they play for? It was up the Sunny Coast or some shit.
Yeah, they played with the Antagonists, and I think there was a Justice for the Damned show.
How many shows have they played?
I think just that one.
How the fuck do you get that as a first show?
I think it's just a really good release.
Yeah.
Yeah, check it out. It's solid as, man.
Yeah, god damn. Because that's what I thought too. I'm like, I've never heard of these fucking guys. And like, they're playing their first show with like fucking international level bands sort of thing. And it's like, what the fuck? And I mean, Antagonists, I mean, they are
at the time that tour was coming through, I think it was like in the real scarce part where like lots of people had COVID, so there wasn't that many bands that could actually leave the house to play.
Yeah, right.
I think Resin got asked to jump on one of their shows because some other bands had pulled out, but even like we had a show booked,
yeah,
and like someone was just getting over COVID, and it was pretty ballsy at the time. Yeah, right.
That was a weird time when you had to like bounce between, like there was like, it was almost like trying to dodge it so you wouldn't fucking like miss the show, because then you'd have to be like, fuck, now I have to find a band. Yeah. And it was kind of like just asking and finding out, making sure that one of the guys hasn't got fucking COVID so they can jump on the lineup. It kind of made it interesting, though, for like some bands to jump on and like diversify the sound. I'm not necessarily the crowd, whatever, that's not right. But like, just you get so like, it's not one that's happening because of it, but like, as an example, from the Floor Ups plant happening next fortnight,
yes,
and Ads is putting all that on, and kudos, he was the last one I just recorded. They've got on the Sunday Rage and Masochist with Drudge, The Meat, Entrapment are playing, so all hardcore bands and stuff, and then you've got Hanoi Traffic that are playing on there as who are sort of like they've got that sort of posty hardcore sound, but like not really sort of thing. Like they're sort of like the oddball of that lineup. And I don't, like, I messaged Adam and I was like, I love Hanoi, but this is a weird gig for them to be playing on, like, when it's just pretty much straight up heavy, hardcore sort of shit.
Ah, true.
Right? And I was just like, you know what? After a bit, I was like, no, I kind of like it.
Yeah.
It's cool, because it'll break up the show. Like, it'll make it just feel a little bit, I don't know, a little bit different.
I think if like the more shows that happen, the more mixed bills that you'll see.
Oh, exactly.
Because
right?
Yeah.
I prefer that,
because like, that's how you discover new bands. Like, sometimes you can't really appreciate a record or a band in particular just by hearing them on the radio. You got to see it live.
Yeah.
And that's how they grab you. And like, even friends' bands I know have that. Like, Travels, a lot of people hear that for the first time, and the vocals are quite abrasive, but then you see them live and the energy that goes in behind that voice, and it just totally changes.
It makes sense.
It makes it so much better.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mixed bills are sick, man.
Yeah, absolutely. And I was a stickler for it for a while, where I was like, nah, fuck, if it's going to be a heavy show, it's going to be all fucking heavy. And like, if it wasn't, I'd be like, watch it or whatever. But nowadays, I don't care, because it also presents a chance for me to just take different shots of different bands as well now, too. Yeah. So I think that's essentially what kind of grew me out of that shitty sort of like elitism in a way, you know what I mean? Like, then I'm taking photos of more bands and stuff, and but it's also interesting to see how they play and how their energy is and stuff,
yeah,
and how to take shots for it. And I mean, and I'm doing all of that DIY, like, I've got no fucking idea, you know, so like,
but I think that happens organically as you get older anyway. You have a wider appreciation for a bigger variety of different types of music, like,
oh yeah, yeah, like, absolutely, general, with that,
I've been
yeah.
getting into heaps of weird stuff lately that I never thought of.
Oh yeah, like
damn, Michael Jackson had some good drum beats.
Oh man,
Prince had a really good snare sound. Just going back and being like, these guys were killing it.
Oh, I usually
I don't care if it's not metal.
I go to some like 50s blues and 60s like jazz shit sometimes as well. Like, I've got a couple of cassettes now as well of some older shit. Like, I got a Beatles Greatest Hits one.
Yeah.
Fucking Frank Sinatra one, Out of the Skies release. I didn't even know how they fucking track all the releases or how they did it back in the day with that shit. But like, there'd be hundreds of cassettes of Sinatra everywhere.
Yeah.
Where they'd be like, live at the Apollo. Like, there'd be live versions of them everywhere. Yeah. I'm sure of it, right?
That's sick.
But I've only got one. And like, that's good enough for me sort of thing. I love Sinatra. He's so good. You know, like, I when I was doing, like, singing lessons at one point, like, he was who I was, like, trying to base, not base my style off, but, like, sort of, like, well, if someone like that can fucking do it, like, yeah, you know, I can do it, like, how hard is it sort of thing. And, yeah, like, it was just, it's very interesting to also get that appreciation for it, too, when you give it a go, at least, or... You know, you can at least say, I don't like it.
If you listen to metal every day of the week, nonstop, you get sick of it eventually.
Yeah, and that's what happens with me. Like, I'll listen to a point where I get sick of it, and then I'll start listening to something else. And then I'll come back to it eventually.
And it's always super heavy when you do.
Yeah, it fucking always happens, you know. And then sometimes it'll be like, oh, I'll go a different genre of metal instead. Like, it all just still comes back around, right? Like, because I don't always listen to the same stuff every day. Like, I've usually got a playlist that's a bit different. You got to break it up, like, I feel like, because then you will get sick of the shit quickly. But then, like, every now and then you get, like, these recommended playlists and you just play it and you put it on and see what it gives you for the day.
Yeah, how do you find those?
Sometimes they're okay, but I get really mad when they give me a suggestion and it's a song that I don't like. I really don't like. And, like, I'm thinking to myself, you've had my algorithm for how long? You've studied my movements for how long now? And you still send me this shit. Like, I'll get mad at that. But, like, that's just a me thing, you know? Like,
I've got everyone else that uses my iPod upstairs for the house in general.
Yeah.
So, like, I get some real wild stuff pop up sometimes. I'm like, I've never heard this before, but someone's been thrashing it.
Oh, right. Like, so when you have people that have come through, yeah.
Infiltrating my algorithm, yeah.
Yeah, right. Yeah, and that's so funny. You'll get, like, Melanie Ross, like, a brand new key come up. I got a brand new key. You're like, what the fuck? I mean, it's a good song, but it's like, I wasn't planning on listening to it today. Who the fuck was doing this? Oh, mate. So, what was the process like of getting, like, I mean, the shows in general, obviously, getting them together is hard enough, and especially with all the having to reschedule and all that shit and having gone through all that, how much did it affect your release overall for the release, like for the album?
I think it actually worked out better, because if we'd just gone ahead and put out the album and then played a show the week later, everyone would still kind of be discovering those songs.
Yeah, right. So I think
it was hopefully better that everyone had a chance to absorb the album a bit more and know the songs before they heard them, type of thing.
That's true. Is it?
But if we tried to tour back when we did put it out, it would have just been even more difficult. Touring's fantastic, but when your whole day is traveling,
oh,
and sitting
right
around at airports and stuff like that,
yeah,
it's like, it kind of makes you go like, all right, I don't need to do this as often as I thought I'd.
You start getting the regrets a little bit.
Yeah, you just come home and you're like, that was a great show, but Qantas can suck my fart. So that was awful. They really just, like, stitched us up heaps. That kind of left a bitter taste in our... Maybe we'll drive next time.
So you had some issues flying with them recently, did you?
Yeah. Or...
Fucking bag them out, I don't care.
Just, like, Qantas.
Just Qantas?
Just Qantas. Virgin were really good.
And that's just everyone's different, though, with these plane stories, right? I hear different ones all the time.
It was mainly because I think they dropped Josh's guitar.
Right.
He pulled it out of the case when we got to Sydney, and he was like, this is a new scratch. This isn't broken. What's going on here?
Yeah, right.
And then, like, as time went on and we played a few more shows, we found a crack on the neck. I think it had to have been dropped.
Yeah.
Come out of its case and hit the ground or something. So, yeah, that's really unfortunate. The shows were sick.
Yeah. I mean, but still, like, of course, like, you're hoping that the shows go on, and they do and whatnot, but you don't want your shit getting damaged when you're going, you're going to and from places.
Yeah, if you're
right
in a band, fly with Virgin straight up.
Yeah.
Get the APRA membership and go on there and, like, fill in your number, and that way they'll give you extra baggage and stuff like that. Virgin treat you better, I found, personally, anyway.
Okay. All right. Do we say Pippi sent me along? Yeah. Pippi recommended me, you guys. Are you going to make sure we get all right?
Yeah, they'll give you a free coffee. Yeah,
yeah, fuck yeah. That'd make it worth it if the fucking you're rocking up there and they're giving you a free coffee, mate. I'd be fanging for that. Seriously, I've been in such, like, a routine, and it's only just sort of catching up to my mental state now, to be honest. I've realized the last few days. But, like, One of my favorite things of the morning these days, like, in between all the work and all that shit, is when the coffee lady D rocks up and she gets me my cappuccino and she puts a super extra amount of chalky powder over the top. Because what it does, if you leave it for 5-10 minutes, right?
Yeah.
Because it's so heavy, it sinks down.
Yeah.
Right. And so after a period of time, like, it still leaves a bit of coffee around the chocolate around the top, right? But after a while, like, when it gets a bit lower, you swirl it.
Yeah.
It brings up the chalky, doesn't it? And
you,
it
you should just cut out the middleman and order a mocha. And then she just puts the chocky straight in there.
Yeah, but like that's I don't know. I don't know. Is that what mochas are? Are they?
That's just a coffee with chocolate in it.
Is that all? Have I just been wanting a mocha this whole time?
Man, order a mocha tomorrow and it might change your life.
Oh, see, I for a minute there I thought I was being like a fucking fancy coffee person. No.
And I think like I heard this once on a podcast and it was good enough that I just put it in the bank. Apparently a little bit of chocolate in your coffee helps it sort of like disperse slower throughout the day into your system rather than just being like a massive hit of coffee. And then I guess the chocolate, whatever, slows down the digestion and kind of like gives you a slow release.
Okay.
So if anyone goes, what are you putting chocolate in your coffee for? You got a good reason now.
That's why I've got the extra. That's I've subconsciously just put an extra chalky powder on top because I'm like, this will help. I can't afford, you know what? She doesn't charge me for that, but you know what she would charge me for? A bigger coffee. Think cutting out the middleman again. You know, get a smaller coffee, just get a shit ton of chocolate on it instead.
There you go, yep.
Yeah. Oh man, doing things weird, aren't I?
Nah, like, coffee's a drug, man.
Yeah, absolutely.
We're addicted.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Yeah. Oh, coffee and nicotine and fucking God knows what else. I mean, weed's not that addictive, but like, I mean, it is if you're not feeling 100%. But like,
it's good.
It's good. I've been all right. You know, I manage.
I was spewing. I went to Adelaide recently, and I didn't try any there. We were just in and out. We went and played this festival, and we came back, and I was like, wait a minute, we just went to a state where you're legally allowed to have it and grow it and stuff.
They are legal there.
How did we miss that?
Oh, that's funny. I think, what is it, you can own like 2 plants or something like that over there or whatever? Because, I mean, that's still a lot, like, that you can harvest off them. Yeah. Like, oh, man. Oh, we'll get there eventually. We're not far off. It's legal for medicine here and shit like that and whatnot, but just not for smoking yet. But we won't be that far off. It, honestly, everywhere's going to be doing it soon. And obviously, that's where an influence comes from with you guys with Resin Tomb as well. Like, where the fuck would you get a tomb full of resin?
Yeah.
Like, what are they doing down there?
No, you worked it out. You cracked the code. Yeah. What's the cryptic message behind the name?
Yeah. It's very sticky down here. What are these gremlins been up to?
Yeah.
It's good because, I mean, that's a good example of like ridiculous music that's influenced by shit that people go, oh, you're just lazy, you're this, you're that. You fucking watched one of the shows. Yeah. You know, like that's
destroying stereotypes, that's it.
Absolutely. I mean, however way possible, like, however which way you can do it, break that mold, people. Fucking hell, I'm an idiot. We're almost finished up. What I'd like to know is, have you got anything recording wise coming up with any projects currently that you've got? Like, so you've just done one with Descent anyway, I know, but yep. Like you would obviously have as a recorder yourself with Black Blood Audio, but as a guitarist, you would have stuff already pretty much written, like, or something stashed away, surely.
Yeah, at the moment I've got a bunch of stuff in the works. So there's a new Resin Tomb 2-track that we're about to put out.
Mm-hmm.
That'll get announced in a month or so.
Sick.
And then we've just finished tracking for a Resin Tomb full length that'll come out probably in like a year or something, unfortunately, but
I've got questions, but
and
go.
Then I've just finished up, almost done recording the new Snorlax album. That'll cool. be the third one. A new project that Budge and I are doing, which is kind of like straight up hardcore. It's called Crossface. We just sent that off to get mastered, so that'll be coming out pretty soon. The other grind band that I have with Kingsley and Josh, called Necroseptic, that's got a new recording that'll come out in probably about 6 months. That'll be a split. And then at the moment in the studio, I got Idle Ruin is here doing an album. Malignant Aura is just about to put out a record. That's one that I did about a year ago. It's funny, the turnaround between finishing a project and it seeing, you know, Spotify or hitting everyone's ears is so long that it's sort of hard to keep track of everything.
Yeah.
But aside from that, Descent's already writing for another split with, I won't give away who it's with yet, but yeah, oh. just the Descent.
close. All right.
But yeah, heaps of stuff going on.
Fuck, that is a lot of stuff. Why didn't I ask this sooner? All right, well, I'll try and see. So, two track, is that because you're doing that because it's going to take so long for the next release of Resin to come out?
Yeah, that was when Descent went to the studio in January 2021,
yep.
to record Order of Chaos. We finished drums early and we had a bit more time in the studio, and it was a beautiful big place. It was called Studio Circuit. It's not there anymore. So I'm glad that we got to do this.
Spewing.
But we had half a day left, and I called up Perry, our drummer, and said, man, if you can get down here, we've got this beautiful big room and it's all set up and everything's ready to go. Just come in and knock out these two songs that we just happened to finish writing.
Mm-hmm.
And he crushed it, and we ended up recording those guitars and drums and vocals and everything here back at my studio. And then Brilliant Emperor's going to put that out for us.
Fuck yeah.
As a little vinyl. Yeah, it was just a special thing. We didn't really plan it, but it sort of worked out that...
7-inch, 12-inch, whatever. Like,
maybe a 10-inch.
Yeah, okay.
Cool. But those two songs are quite sort of sisterous. They feed into each other.
It's
a story, a little theme behind it.
Yeah. I've got another, I'll ask you this one after we finish as well. At Crossface Hardcore, is that just going to be a studio thing?
No, I think we might play a couple shows.
Yeah, okay.
So we just wrote, well... We had the idea, and I just wrote an EP worth of music, and the other guys were all pretty stoked on it. But I just recorded some vocals, and yeah, not sure what we're going to do with the release yet, but
yeah,
the idea is to definitely play shows, because the hardcore scene's popping off again at the moment, and
it is.
It seems too fun to not be a part of, so
yeah,
might as well try.
Yeah. So is it a 4-piece, 5-piece?
Yeah, I guess it'll kind of be like the Nerve Damage thing, where with a big group of friends that all can play music, I've sort of got a few mates that will be able to learn the songs pretty easily, and
yeah,
whoever's around at the time will get on board. But my friend Mitch Kingsley upstairs might play drums, or Perry from Resin Tomb.
Yeah.
The main thing is just like sort of keep it loose and have fun and not take it as seriously as we have to with some of the other projects now that they're on like record schedules and shit like that.
Yeah, right, that'd be sick. I do like that. I've definitely gotten more into hardcore, like the hardcore era sort of stuff again now. Like I've come, like I wouldn't, like, cause it's not that I bounce between. It's just like I'm really digging what's coming out of like our scene at the moment as well. Like it's having a revival, which is good. You know,
both ends as well, like the crossover side.
Oh yeah, yeah, absolutely.
And like just the straight up hardcore side.
Yeah, like, yeah, absolutely. Like, yeah, let's not forget. Like, yeah, there's absolutely, the other scenes are getting just ridiculously good music coming out right now, sort of thing, right? And then yeah, same across in the other side. Like, and like there's going to be a festival later this year, I think, down in Sydney, like a hardcore festival, Beast Mode or something, or
back on the map.
Yeah, and it's like sold out already.
Yeah,
like and like it was a pretty, I think it was like, I don't know what the capacity was, but I mean it's sold out, so it's going to be fucking ridiculous.
That's great. But, man, like, if there's more festivals like that where they're bringing interstate bands all together to have a big, like, the more community around hardcore,
they used to,
like,
do shit,
the better it would be, because that's the whole fucking purpose behind it, really, you know.
They did that shit all the time back in the day. Yeah,
hardcore 2016, I think, was the last one, but that was
definitely
a big get together of sick bands every year.
Every year they'd used to do something at like Princess Theater or some shit as well, like a death fest kind of thing as well, right? And I went to a few of them too, and like Red Shaw 1 year was headlining it.
That's awesome.
Thy Art was up playing, and it had their old vocalist.
If anyone from a venue's listening, let me put on a death metal festival, please.
Yeah, and any like what is it, the New Dead Fest that you played over in Adelaide?
Yeah, that was awesome, man.
Yeah, like that's when was the last time you saw like a big, like we have like metal fests happen, but like it's only usually at one venue, and it's like it's all
New Dead would be like the format that I would copy. He's got it nailed. Like Jason, the bloke that puts it on, has it down to an art. Like, there's two stages opposite each other, and it's just bam, bam, one band after the other all day, nonstop. And, like, the spectrum of metal that I saw on the day, all, like, from Paddlemore, computer metal, all the way to the other end of, like, Führer, which is just, like, one dude playing drums.
Yeah.
Black metal, doing vocals, and then a backing track behind him, and he does the whole show by himself.
Yeah. I'm
insane,
sure.
Insane, man.
Yeah, we
insane.
Were talking earlier about, like, fucking one-man band shit. Like, that's so good.
They're out there. They're out there, yeah. But, yeah. Like, there was so many sick bands. It was awesome. I'd strive to copy and get to the level that he did, because it was just, the whole day ran perfectly. He had an awesome crew. Like, the stage managers and stuff were, like, on top of everything.
Yeah.
It was sick.
Did you...
Super friendly.
Did you see Freedom of Fear?
No.
Oh.
Didn't catch them, unfortunately.
Yeah, right. I like them, because...
I think the drummer from Haydenwall plays for them as well, actually.
Oh, they... God,
could be wrong.
He's small in so world, many bands. Isn't it? Yeah. How many bands?
I think he's in, like, 6 or 7 bands.
He's
a wizard, yeah.
Ridiculous. That's just the norm. Why am I not surprised? With drummers, you know, what got my attention on them was they, in one of their songs, they had like saxophone in it or some shit.
Oh yeah.
So good. And I was always wondering if they actually do that live, like they play with the sax live in that part, or if it's just,
I hope so.
Yeah. That's what I mean. I was like, do they, but like, again, you fail me.
No,
you haven't.
I didn't have saxophone on the radar.
Yeah. Well, if you knew, you would have checked, of course. That's fair. I'll allow that. That's all right. But yeah, like if we had something like that, which just had like that level of shit that would come through here, like at a stable venue, I think shit would pop. Like,
yeah.
And if you could make it regular, you'd got to build that, you know, that culture of knowing that if it's going to happen every year and it's going to run smoothly, then bands will come. The fuckheads will get kicked out after a while, because they'll know that if they want to come to this fully sick thing, if they get kicked out the first year, well, they better not fucking fuck up the next time it comes through, then, hey, you know, like...
But it's just good for everyone in general. Like, I was really surprised at how many folks from Brisbane were at the festival in Adelaide.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think it really matters. Like, if the quality of music is there, people will travel.
If I hadn't have left it too late, I was going to try and get to that as well, buy tickets so I could shoot it. I was just going to go there and shoot it and be like, fucking whatever.
It was a great day, man.
I'd
recommend going to
I've never been to Adelaide.
To go to that. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's sick.
Shout out Jarbo if you're listening there as well. He lives over there as well, and he's mates with the Idol guys. He got up on stage and had a shouty as well. There was photos of that, and I was like, oh, what a mad dog. It looked fucking so savage as well. Like, whoever was shooting that day on whatever that camera was. God damn, good shit, you know. So I don't know if I covered all of the bands that you said that you were doing them with my questions back, but like, fuck me, man. The recording side of it, I mean, there's a lot to be looking forward to, and in terms of, you know, like the projects. Oh, did you say about Snorlax? Or
yeah.
You did? Okay, right, all right. Well,
there's a new record in the works there. It's nearly done.
Yep, yeah, so...
See, I don't know how many bands would want me, like, telling them the news if they were... Like, I mean, I just recorded World of Joy over the weekend as well, so they're going to have new stuff coming out.
Yeah, yeah.
The amount of sick bands that are in, like, Brisbane is just growing and growing and growing. If there was a festival or some...
Yeah.
Shit like that where they could all have an opportunity to get seen on a bit bigger stage, that would be so sick.
Yeah, for sure. I've, well, message them, find out, and then, yeah, otherwise I'll have to bleep it, which is okay. I can put the bleep in.
I'm sure they'll be fine with it.
It'd be fine. No,
really sick. It sounds real sick.
Yeah, okay. Well, yeah. I don't want to fuck with those guys. they're so good though. Like I love their music, man. Like, I was so stoked when they got to go down to play in I don't know if it was Canberra or if it was in Newcastle. I'm just trying to work out who where exactly, but it was like it was part of that Beast Mode group, and they'd put a show on there, and Honest Crooks headlined it. Fuck, man. Oh, well, that's a thing too. Shout out Your Mate Bookings for getting me to photograph Zabalba. I get to shoot that. Yeah, that's awesome. It's gonna be my first international. Man, I'm fucking still buzzing over it. Like, I'm pretty sure I talked about it on the last one. Because, yeah, like, Honest Crooks are going to be supporting them. And then there's, like, a list of so many good bands that are supporting each, show as well. And even the lineup for... And speaking of, like, ridiculously heavy-sounding shit, like, Adriatic, right? They're local Brisbane guys, right? They're going to be supporting, like, one of the opening acts for it, too. Sick. I was just thinking, them and Hadlemore would be a sick combo.
Oh, right.
That'd be a good show.
I'll have to check them out, yeah.
Yeah, that'd be good. That'd be good. I hope you guys get that. That'd be sick. I don't even know why I pointed to the phone then. It's not even like, it's the stupidest fucking thing.
Don't get it.
You know, yeah. You know what it is? It's telling me that I'm fucking done and I'm getting tired and we should probably wind up because it's past the hour mark. I'm trying to keep them around an hour. Because no one likes fucking super, super long potties anymore, I don't think.
No?
Oh, well, they might, but I don't.
2 hours and trim the fat.
Yeah, oh, look, I don't like doing long podcasts anymore myself, personally. I just think if you try and aim to have them shorter, you can get... It means you've got to pay attention and, like, get what you need to say in first. And if you've got enough time to shit talk, fucking go for it. Like, you know, like, I don't mind. I feel like we've done a fair bit of that anyway. But in the same breath, like, we talked about the show, how good it was, how much we want to see, like, more of it again. Like, hopefully it's inspired some of the people that played or even saw it just to go, like, fucking, yeah, let's play shows again, man.
Yeah.
It's all back. It's happening. Let's do this. At the moment, I only really
book shows for my own bands, but if the opportunity became available at a reasonable-sized venue to book regular shows, I'd love to do that.
Yeah.
It's just it's a little bit difficult at the moment. Some of the venues are just booked out.
Yeah.
Just still booked out everywhere. So
I might
struggle, but
I might
just like a regular hub where hardcore or metal shows could happen regularly. Like, it's not always bouncing around trying to lock in competing venues and stuff like that. If it was like a regular spot.
Yeah, I reckon I got a couple that I know that I could pass on to you. Yeah.
A little bit more community, a little bit less kind of like split off sections of different scenes and stuff.
But yeah,
there's so many sick bands I'd love to play with, but I know they got their specials,
special venues and stuff.
Special that venues and like crews they hang out with, which is awesome.
Yeah,
everyone's got to support each other's bands and stuff like that.
Yeah. Go and check another venue for fuck's sake. Don't be like that though. You know, like, and I get, you know what I mean. Like, I get that, but that annoys me when that shit happens. Like, if you like a band, who gives a fuck where they're playing? Just go there and check them out.
Yeah.
You know, unless you've got beef with someone at the venue. Like, then I get that. Like,
or if you've been kicked out or something.
Yeah. Like, I get that. That's fine. But if you're just like, oh, I don't like it. Oh, fucking tough. Don't make it shit for the rest of us.
And if your friend's playing small venues and you're like, nah, I don't want to go to that. Go support your friend's bands because that'll be what gets them on bigger stages.
Yeah. Duh. It's the easiest, simplest way.
Go fill out those tiny rooms, you know, so that they get a bigger opportunity next time.
Yeah, obviously if you can't afford it, that's fine. You know, like,
jump the fence.
Sneak in if you can, obviously. Yeah, for sure. Like, fuck the system. even for your own show that you need the money for. yeah, absolutely. Rush the stage. Just support your local, and then that way you can have the bigger, better shows and on a more regular basis as well. But oh man, it was a good chat. I think we covered everything. So what we'll do is
Diploid this weekend.
Oh yeah, nearly forgot that. Diploid is at so they start at the Beardo on the Friday night, I think. And is Resin playing on that one as well?
No, we're supporting.
You're playing at Vinny's, I know that. Yeah. Okay, so but not the night before though.
No, I think
it's Diploid, Shackles, Hinter Kaifek, and
Lies and Ashes.
Yeah. And then Diploids playing an Arvo show up at Nambour with Hanoi Traffic, and then they're coming back down for the Saturday night, which is Salt Money, Resin Tomb, Lies and Ashes, and Diploid. Is that right?
Yep.
Fuck yes.
That's on the big new stage at Binny's.
Oh, you get to play on the big stage?
Yeah, new stage there is really sick.
Yeah, I was lucky to check it out a couple of times before it was finished and stuff. I was in there. Oh, like with Glenn, who the promoter there, and every time I've gone there anyway, most of the guys from Entrapment all know everyone that works there anyway, so they've just like waved me in, and it's like, oh, this feels special. And so like, I've checked out half that stuff before it was finished, and I was just thinking, man, this is gonna be so fucking good.
Wait, I'd like to put a question out to the people.
Yeah.
Who's the sickest current metal band on the Gold Coast?
On the Gold Coast?
Yes.
Ah.
So I was looking for some sick metal bands to play with on the Gold Coast, and I was a little bit sort of scratching my head.
Like
who's the fresh new guys that are like doing groundbreaking stuff?
Yeah.
Kicking ass, you know?
Specifically from the Gold Coast?
Yeah, because I thought they had a really awesome metal scene there for ages, and it seems like it's tapered off a bit.
I can't think of anything off the top of my head.
Let's see?
Yeah.
There used to be some
dope Level H? Are they from the Goldie?
Oh, I'm not too sure.
I don't know. Maybe them. Maybe them. But, like, I don't know if they've been doing anything recently. Yeah. So,
that's what I mean, current.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I am stumped on that. Take this awkward silence as me pondering. Yeah, okay. Where are the Gold Coast bands? Come out to us, or
come at us.
Let Pitt know at least. Anyway, he's the one who puts the shows on. I just try and fucking help people listen to it. But yeah, okay, all right. That's a good question, because I'm gonna go and have a look now as well. So, all right. On that note, Pip, thanks again, man. I'm looking forward to, like, I mean, fucking everything that you got coming out, to be honest. But, like, there's a lot. So, yeah, I can't wait to see how you actually get it all done, to be honest. Like, that's, you know, I know it's going to be good, but it's like, is he going to be having how big are the bags under his eyes going to be, you know, by the end of the year? Because, like, there's going to be some fucking hard work going into it, for sure.
One weekend at a time. I record every weekend, and it's just one weekend at a time.
Yeah. Well, you've got the system going, and it's fucking working. Like, the records coming out of here are great. So, like, for sure, dude. Like, they are. Like, you just recorded stuff recently with Distant Tomb as well, I saw, didn't you?
They were here at the studio recording, yeah.
Yeah, it's I mean, like, it wasn't not so secret, because, like, they put a picture up one day anyway of it, so it's just, for a split second there, I thought you were like, oh, don't talk about that.
No. they're chill. They just did drums here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it Geordie, the singer?
Yep.
Yeah. Man, he's a fucking animal.
Yeah, when he what plays. A voice, eh?
Yeah, I got some really good shots of him playing, too, at that show. Yeah, I'll send you a couple of them, too, like, I'm getting a website done as well. So nice. If you want to see any of the photos and ever get them printed or anything like that,
yeah,
you can go through, because I'm going to have an A to Z list of, like, the bands that I've taken photos of. And
that's a good idea.
All the photos, basically. And if I can remember the years and the months and stuff, I'll try and categorize that. Otherwise, it'll just be, like, in lumps of, like, you can tell, like, it's at the same venue sort of thing.
That'd be good for the bands, too. They'd be like, oh, what was that show we played? Who was that with? And then just go back and find the picture.
Yeah. I don't know if I'll be able to help specifically with with all of them, because I haven't labelled all of them, obviously. And, I mean, I've already... I thought...
Good times in Brisbane.
Yeah.
Folder one.
Yeah, so documenting-wise, I'm like, I kind of left it late after, like, the 1,000th photo that I'd fucking taken and uploaded, so I'm like, oh god, that's gonna take way too long. Fuck it, no, I'm just gonna try and remember it.
Start from the next photo you take.
Yeah. So, but in saying that, I have, like, categorized, like, every month if I take photos, I put it in by that. So, hopefully, that's gonna be the way like I might not necessarily remember the day, but I'll remember the month that you played in at least. So that's the best I'll give you.
That's close enough.
Yeah, yeah, right. That'll jog your memory more than mine, because I'm not the one that fucking played the show. I just took photos of it, right? You should know better. Yeah. Anyway, man, we could keep rambling if we kept going at this rate. So really appreciate that. The chat, man.
Thank you.
I look forward to seeing everything that comes out, and happy and safe travels, and yeah, peace and love.
Cheers,
have fun,
bro.
Man. Absolutely enjoyed it. And we'll finish off with one of your songs off the Descent record, we'll say.
Sounds
yeah,
good.
I'll put a Descent record. I'll put a Descent song on the end of this podcast episode. Bye-bye.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.